Morning, church. Buenos días. Aleluya. So I'm turning 50. Someone says that after this day is downhill. But I would like to think that it's uphill because we're going to Jesus. Amen. Aleluya. So we are in this sermon series that will help us. You know, as the bumper video shows you, the idea is to address all these challenges, all these social issues that we have through the lenses of the scriptures. And remember that no matter what, every time we share the scriptures, there is always different understandings. The plan is that in 25 minutes, starting now, it's impossible to unpack these big challenges. So my goal is not to convince you of anything, but to convey to you what the scripture says about all these issues. And hopefully, you will go into the secret place and rethink, reevaluate, and go back to the scriptures and address all these issues through the lenses of the scriptures. And hopefully, you will come up as a better disciple for Jesus in the 21st century. So, here we go with this, and let's start the process of unpacking first traditional marriage. So, these issues will be coming every Sunday, and my hope is that as you go through them, you do it on your own discernment, but also include your family in it. God is calling us to reach everyone, but especially our households. How many of you know that the General Conference met back in last month, basically in April, and made several decisions about human sexuality, but especially including marriage in the United Methodist Church? You also need to know that now the United Methodist Church is basically a pluralistic denomination, which means that there is a space for every pastor, every clergy, in every church to decide who they are in Christ in regards to these challenges. So every church right now in America and basically globally is now discerning. We are all in a process of local discernment around who we are. And those who are clergy, like myself, are doing the same thing. Right? So we are all in this process together. So we are all discerning. So when you think about all this process that St. John is going through, it's not only you, it's also me, it's every church and every person. And the encouragement is, which I already did, is to send a letter to the bishop and the cabinet declaring who you are. So there's no confusion moving forward and people know and the cabinet knows and the bishop knows who I am. So I already did that. That was one of the very first things that I thought that it was important to do. So in this process, I hope that you hear my heart on this and remember that I know by now, 1 year here, hallelujah, 1 year. In 1 year here, I most know most of you, and I know where most of you stand. And guess what? I still love you. And I still see you, wherever I see you, here in the church or outside of the church. I still will give you a hug if you allow me to do that. And I will still love you regardless and no matter what. So my hope is that you will do the same with me, regardless what I believe and regardless where I stand. And as a pastor of this congregation, I have the responsibility to preach and teach the word of God. So my hope with this sermon series is that you either get sad or mad, or angry, or something, but don't be indifferent. Because this is the challenge that we have in the 21st century. That you actually, as a disciple of Christ, we are in constant tension with culture, and in constant tension with the world. And that's the place where we need to learn to live. Learn to live in this tension. And the day that you get up in the morning and there's no tension in you, you should be worried because it's supposed to have in this spiritual warfare 24/7. where we are always in tension. Let's go and examine marriage first. So, when we talk about this, the first part is what makes something right or wrong. That's in just a general conversation. So forget for a second about marriage or any issues that we are facing today. What makes something right or wrong? So before you say this is right, this is wrong, you have to have a basis for it. So what makes something right or wrong? Second question, what is marriage and why is it important? Why these discussions about marriage? Why people are having these issues and why we are so emotionally charged when we talk about all these challenges? And then this basic distinction between natural rights and civil rights. Especially in America, we need to make that distinction. What is natural rights and what are the civil rights? Which in America, because of the context of America, the civil rights movement have accomplished so much. But that's unique for America. That's not around the world. Okay? So for a second, remember that I'm from Cuba and I have an accent. Okay? Which means that I have a different perspective. Okay? I come from outside to give you a perspective and hopefully to expose you to the world. Because America is not as it's important, but the church is bigger than the church in America. Okay? So, first, again, I've been teaching since day one. Hopefully, by now, you are now at least aware that there is two worldviews. The secular worldview based on man's word, based on politics, based on culture. And there is the Christian worldview or the kingdom worldview that is based on God's word. And those two, 99% of the time, are in conflict. So you have to decide how to believe and how to define reality and how to examine reality based on this worldview. And worldview is basically how I see the world, through what lenses. So today, we have all these challenges, transgender, abortion, gay marriage, LGBTQ, racism, polygamy. You have gender, you have evolution, you have all these challenges. And the question is, how are you going to process them? How are you going to interpret them? What would be your lenses to do this? What would be your filter to do this? And you have to make that decision. You cannot do both because these two worldviews are totally different. So the issues are the same, but the way we interpret them are different based on who you are. If you are a child of God, if you are a disciple of Christ, you will do what the world do, but you also have to, at the end of the day, go back to the scriptures because we are the people of the book. So the issues are the same. So it doesn't matter what you are doing. If you are alive and Jesus pray, God do not take them out of the world, but just reveal yourself to them. Abortion, gender, marriage, race, you have all these challenges. The question is, how are you interpreting them and how you and I are approaching those challenges? So you have this conflict today in the 21st century. You have gay marriage, abortion, racism, and that's a secular view, but you also have Christian marriage, the sanctity of life, one race, and you have all these challenges today that are now in our face, and we no longer are now free from having these conversations. So in the past 250 years, you can be, you can have your own opinion or your own stance, and no one will care or no one will ask you. But the days of hiding or the day of not sharing who you are over. Daily, we are being pressured more and more by culture and by society to actually voice what we believe. And that's why, because that's happening because in many, many cases, the brokenness of the world and the brokenness of the nations and the brokenness of governments are pushing more and more in tension with the church. Now, I also want to give you another tool to interpret all these issues. It's a powerful law that is a law that we use to interpret. Remember that when I did my dissertation, and I have to do two dissertations, I have two doctorates. Both of those, you have to use these laws in order to come up with solid arguments and solid truth to help society and help the world. And that's the law of opposites. So the law of opposites basically says that truth and error are always in opposition. And what basically means that once, if one statement is truth, any statement that contradicts it has to be false. So you cannot go with two statements that are basically truth and say they both are truth. Like, for example, you said that all religions in the world are truth. Then that's questionable because not all religions are the same. If they are different, not all religions are the same. So you have to conclude that some religions are false, other religions are truth. Now, when you come to the actual definition of marriage, the first question is, where does your definition of marriage come from? And that's the first question that we have to answer. If you say that marriage is between one man and one woman, where does that definition come from? If you say that marriage is between two consent adults, where does that definition come from? And using the law of opposites, you have to decide. If you say, again, error and truth cannot be equal. It cannot be together. They are always in confrontation. So if you say that marriage is between one man and one woman, and that's the truth, then any other statement that contradicts that has to be false. If you say that marriage is a life union between two consenting people or two consenting adults, then any other statement that contradicts that will be false. But both cannot be true. So when we go back to the scriptures, and I hope that you go back to the scripture when you decide all of this, you're going to read first Genesis 1:27, and says that God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So that's the first clarity and the first statement when you open the book of Genesis. And most of the challenges that we are facing today, you can start unpacking these arguments using Genesis 1 to 11. So if you have an issue of racism, how many of you have heard racism this and racist theory and racism theory? Okay, so that's a race issue. Okay, so you go back to Genesis, what God has to say about race. Okay, so you have all of that, and based on Genesis, we have one race. Now, we all are all in this challenge together, and our brokenness is leading us to separate race and make white people better than Hispanic people, and Hispanic people are better than Asian people, and Asian people are better than African people. That's us. That's not the book of Genesis. That's us. We are all one. If we all bleed, and today is Memorial Day, we all bleed what? Red. So when we see this, we understand then that the second statement that we see in Genesis 2 is that's why man leave his father and mother and is united to who? His wife. And they become one flesh. So that's the statement that the book of Genesis opens and talking about marriage. But the beautiful thing is that the Bible opens talking about marriage, but the Bible also closes talking about marriage. And the moment you, that's why this is so important. The moment you remove and you start changing what marriage is, you need to know that you are now trying to move the basic foundation of Christianity. Because when the Bible closes, and here is what the book of Ephesians says, 5:31, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. So it's consistent what Genesis is teaching. And then it says, and two will become one flesh. But here's what it says. This is a profound mystery. And Jesus, even teaching about marriage, says that this is something that people sometimes don't understand. But I am talking about Christ and the church. So how the book of Revelation finishes? How the book of Revelation ends? It ends with the wedding of who? The Lamb and the church. The bride is Jesus, and the church is the broom is Jesus, and the bride is the church. That's the way Revelation finishes. So we open the book of Genesis with the marriage of whom? Adam and Eve. Who is the second Adam? Jesus. How you close Revelation? You close Revelation with the marriage of Jesus and the church. So this is Christianity, one-on-one. So when you keep going, the question that we have before us is it unloving to hold a traditional view of marriage? And when I receive this question, I always point people back to what love is. We're not talking about my love or your love. We're talking about God's love. And God's love, the way Christianity teaches for 2,000 years, the love of God is one of the, and I talked about that before, is one of the things that make us unique as a religion or as a faith. Here is what God's love is. God's love is one, is first what? Universal. What does that mean? That means that God's love is universal, means that he's the creator of the earth, but he's also the savior of the earth. That God loves every culture and loves everyone. That's universal. Number two, God's love is what? Unconditional. You cannot do, and I cannot do anything to receive that world. There's no words, there's no deeds I can do. And that separates us from Muslims and Jewish people and everybody else, because most of the religions in the world, you have to do something to actually gain favor with that deity. We're saying, no, you have to recant and you have to renounce to all your deeds and you have to embrace Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And then, by faith, you are saved. Lastly, which is also unique for us, the love of God is what? Impartial. And that means that God loves the sinner and he loves the saint. That's also unique. No other religion in the world have this type of love. If you go to the Muslims or Buddhists, or you go to the Jewish people, the Jewish tradition, God only loves in that context, even though we believe in one God. If you go to Jewish tradition, they believe in one God. If you go to the Muslim tradition, they believe in one God. And Christianity believe in one God. Everybody else is different. But even within those three major religions in the world, this is different. For the Jewish people and the Muslim people, this one God only loves people that are walking in holiness. Our God loves everyone. He loved me when I was lost, and he loved me now that I'm safe. That's unique. And that's why when we say that we love everyone, regardless of where they are coming from, if they are gay or straight, what we're saying is that this is the love of God. It's universal, it's unconditional, and it's impartial. And we love everyone. But how can we live with this tension between love and truth? That's the question. Because our God is also a holy God. And as a holy God, there is always tension between holiness, truth, and love. And what holds this paradigm of truth and grace is love. Now, this is what Pope Francis said about traditional marriage. This is the Catholic Church. Marriage is between a man and a woman. And Pope Francis reaffirms that traditional definition of marriage is what? Sacred and foundational to the church teachings. This is the Catholic Church. And we have many, many other denominations. But what really caught my attention is that because the United Methodist Church now is in this position, it's forcing every single church that is called themselves United Methodist to think about this and have a conversation about this. But I don't see people going to the Vatican and marching outside of the Vatican or doing anything. Why? Because the position is clear. This is why I'm saying to you that I love you, but we have to define who we are. Because when it's done, people will know who we are, and they either live with it or make decisions for it. But we cannot just keep going in this limbo that we don't know who we are. Okay? Now, this distinction between natural rights and civil rights. So when we talk about this, I hope that these tools will help you to process what this is and how we face all these challenges, not only marriage, but anything. So natural rights, what are natural rights? Well, we believe that we all are born and God is the life giver. So regardless where you are born, in Asia or Africa or Europe or Asia or Africa or Latin America or anywhere, you are born with basic natural rights. So you all and we all, one of our rights is the right of freedom. Right? It's the right to be respected. It's the right to have our basic needs met. Those are basic rights that we all have. That you have the right of life, you have the right of education, you have the right of freedom, you have the right. So you have all these rights that are given by God, wherever you are. And then you have civil rights, which are different. Okay? And again, I come from a country where the church is persecuted. 24/7. So the civil rights come from the government, not from God, come from the government. And when you come from a country like I do, where the government give you rights and take it from you, you're going to learn really fast the difference between civil rights and natural rights. Sometimes for Americans are very difficult because the history of America is different from the history from Cuba. The government here and the church were working side by side, but now 250 years have passed. And now it's becoming more difficult to continue dancing with the state. Because that's what the challenge that we have for the 21st century. So the civil rights movements are rights given by the state. And the state can take it or the state can give it back. One of the big ones was biracial marriage. Do you remember that, some of you? 1967? We have this powerful case, Loving versus Virginia, where the law was passed that biracial marriage was now legal. But here is the problem with all of this. That's an American thing. If you go around the world, that was not a problem around the world. Only in places where Europe was governing. So if you go to Asia, no problems. If you go to Latin America, you have those issues for a while. Because again, America was colonized by Europe. But any other places, you go to Africa, you have the apartheid and all these challenges. But once the revolution came, then those problems, those issues were not an issue anymore. So you have all these places. In America, 1967, it was late about this. It was rampant in America, but around the world, that was not an issue at all. So then you have same-sex marriage, Jim Oberfeld against the state and Hodges, 2015, in that law that marriage is between two persons, not two consenting adults, not one man and a woman, was passed in 2015. And when that law passes, now the church has to make a decision, what are we going to do about this? And we have to talk about it, and there's no way to escape this conversation. Because so far, there was tension with biracial marriage, what the church said about that in the past. And there was tension now, there is tension now about same-sex marriage. And what happens tomorrow in civil rights and also comes like, you know what? Marriage is not between two consenting adults, but it can be to more than one consenting adult. Two, three people is also a marriage. What the church would do about that? Or everything goes? Or what? And that's the question that we need to answer. That regardless what the state come up with, the state and the church are different. And the church fathers used to say what Jerusalem has to do with Athens, with Athens. Nothing. So there is a difference between Caesar and the church. Okay, now we are more in those times again where we need to start this making a distinction between church and state. Because every time a law comes in, we have to decide what the church has to do and will do about that. So, civil rights are given by the state, natural rights are given by nature and God himself. And we believe that there is morals that are embedded in every person's heart, given by God, and then their state will come and sometimes acknowledge or contradict natural rights. So what are the benefits of marriage? Well, one of the benefits of marriage is the procreation and education of children. That's one of the benefits of marriage. That's why marriage is a natural right. So even if the state allows it or not allows it, people still have the right to marry. In fact, if you don't know, pastors have always had the right to marry people. This idea of marrying or having recognition, when I perform a marriage, having recognition of a state and church was something that happens in the colonial era. But for the since the beginning of time, for 2,000 years, the church has been marrying people. America is a baby in terms of when you talk about kingdoms and the kingdoms that have been ruling the earth for years, like the Italians and the Persians and the Assyrians and all these people. 500 years, 600 years. America is only 250 years. The church has been marrying people for 2,000 years. But now, in America, which is another American thing, when a pastor performs a wedding, has recognition from the state and the church. And why do we need recognition from the state? Because we have benefits, and we have taxes, and we have all these benefits that we, it's better if you are married. But that's a state thing. That's not a God thing. That's a state thing. So the other benefit of marriage is mutual help and comfort. Remedy of concupiscence. That's one of the benefits of marriage. If you are married, then you are protected against lust. Because then within the context of marriage, all sexual relationships should happen and only happen within the marriage boundaries of the covenant of marriage. Any sexual relationship outside of the covenant of marriage is sinful and is not supported by God based on the scriptures. So when you have that, marriage is God's provision for us not to fall into lust and other temptations. But every time you have a sexual need, which is a basic natural right, you have your spouse to satisfy those needs. And you should not go to your neighbor to do that. A higher economic and societal contribution than single people. Of course, if you are married, you Bible says that two are better than one. You make more money. You contribute to the states. You raise your children. And now one of the big things are the children, the education of children. You have all this research done. And please take a picture of that slide because I'm giving you facts, not feelings, facts. And when you see this, you're going to see, and this is, I only named three, but I can give you more if you text me or email me. But the reason I'm pointing this out is the benefits for children to grow in the context of the covenant marriage. And what study is saying, that when children and youth are grow up and they are raised and nurtured within the context of marriage, you have less anxiety, you have better mental health, you have better family relationships, you have better academic achievement, you have better cognitive health and outcomes, you have better behavioral problems, you don't have as much as abuse and depression and substance abuse and substance use. So why we are experiencing a big rise on the Generation Z and Generation Alpha. This is the most broken generation than ever. Why? Because the level of divorce is to the roof. The level of brokenness is to the roof. People don't want to get married anymore. So people are questioning all the basic principles and values of society. And now we're having our broken and the depth of our brokenness is now deeper than ever before. And this is the generation that have more stuff than any other generation in the world. And we still are the most broken generation ever. Why? Because we have removed what marriage is and the importance of marriage. Now, what Jesus has to say about this, and you're going to hear this here again and again everywhere. You're going to hear that people say, Jesus didn't talk about this. Yes, he did. If you go to Matthew 19, he talks about marriage. Now, the context of this passage, Jesus, the Pharisees ask him a question about divorce. And Jesus, when he's about to answer the question about divorce, He begins doing what I'm doing right now, putting the foundation before he answered the question. And how he responded to that, well, the first thing that Jesus did was, he said, let's go back to where? To the beginning. So it's when you are lost, the best way to find your way is to go back to the beginning. And Jesus says, haven't you read? Haven't you read? Haven't you read? So which means that every single question, every issue that comes at you in the 21st century, you should be able to answer that question. Have you read? Have you read the scriptures? That's the question. It's not, where are you coming from with all of this? He replied that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and what? And female. So that really creates a foundation for the conversation that God created us male and female. And for this reason, he emphasized Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 2:24. We will leave our fathers and mothers, our parents, and we will unite our wife or spouses, and then we become one flesh. And then what God has joined together, let no one separate. And we will talk about divorce later in one of the Sundays. I think it's the third Sunday after this. Genesis 22:24, and that's the passage of Genesis where Jesus is quoting Genesis 2:24. And then he quotes Genesis 1:27. And the reason I want to highlight this is because when he quotes Genesis 22:24, he, instead of saying Genesis 2:23 and Genesis 2:24 to say when Adam said, this is now bones of my bones, he didn't say that. He went to Genesis 1:27 instead of Genesis 2:23. Why is that important? Because Jesus wanted to emphasize the importance of sexual differences in marriage. He wants to emphasize again and again that God created us male and female. But when you see Genesis as a whole, this is not about marriage only. You're going from Genesis 1, day and night, heaven and earth, water and land, animals and humankind, trees that are different based on their based on fruits and based on who they are. Every tree is different. So Genesis is all about what? Differences. Genesis is all about differences. So when he comes to the creation of men, of humankind, guess what? There is also differences. And he's saying men and women. Male, female. So what is the call to action? The call to action is simple. Listen, learn, and love. Go back to the scriptures. This is not about what your position is. It's also about what your posture is. Are you going to love people? Or are you going to use the Bible as a stick to hate people? So regardless what your position is, don't worry only about your position. Worry also about your posture. Embrace and promote God's design of marriage that is really rule in sexuality and the differences in sexuality. Don't be afraid to ask forgiveness on behalf of the church. Every time a person accuses you for being a hypocrite, and the church have been a hypocrite because we have ranking things, and we are ranking things, and we're making differences, and we're saying that a sexual sin is worse than all the other things. Every time people say that, you have to say, yes, we are hypocrite. The church have been doing that for 2,000 years. Don't try to justify it. Just assume it and ask for forgiveness on behalf of the church. You're going to see that in Genesis, Revelation. You're going to see all these great men of God asking not only forgiveness for their own sins, but also for the sins of the nation. Ask for forgiveness of the sin of this nation. Ask for the forgiveness for your own sins, for your family, for your children, for the city, for the state, for the government, and for the world. Don't try to justify it. We have been hypocrites. We have made differences. We have done all of that. And we need to assume that. Don't be a hypocrite. Be what? Consistent. If you say that this is your position, be consistent across the board. It's a whoever comes through this door, we have to be consistent and treat everyone the same. Now, based on this, this is what also the Pope Francis also says. you know, a call to action, pastoral care, while maintaining traditional teachings. Also, you know, here, what is important is to emphasize compassion, mercy, and support all individuals regardless of their life situations, especially people who do not conform to these teachings. Because what is important here is not only the word, but also the love and the care that we have for people. So you need to know, the reason I'm sharing this with you is so you know where your pastor is. And here is what you need to know about me. The Bible says that sex differences is necessary for what marriage is in God's design. There is nothing in the Bible or in Christian tradition that says marriage is a genderless institution. There is difference between male and female. 2, God's design for relationship is based on his perfect wisdom and should guide our actions. 3, I, Pastor Alvarez, will not officiate same-sex weddings. You need to know why. And this is why. If anyone asks you why your pastor will not perform same-sex weddings, point him to this message on Facebook. They can hear it, and they can, for themselves, understand where I'm coming from. So here is what I come as, what I sent to the bishop. I affirm the historical Christian values of and teachings of the church, that our God was created in marriage as a sacred covenant for one man and a woman, and that any sexual relationship outside of this boundary constitutes sexual immorality. And that includes all of that, premarital sex, same-sex, relationships, impurity, lust, or are sinful if we are not in covenant with God. And the reason I shared that with the bishop and the cabinet is because the General Conference asked me to do that, and I come from a country where the church is persecuted, and I'm used to take a stand for what I believe. And you also need to know that I was the Episcopal candidate in last year, 2020, for becoming a bishop in the United Methodist Church. So the reason I'm not a bishop today in the United Methodist Church, in this new church, is because when they asked me what I believe, that's what I said. So if you want to know about that, if it's Josmar Alvarez, Episcopal nominee, all the videos and everything will show that. So I don't want you to be surprised, because I love you and I want you to know me, and the highest mark of love is you love me as I am. I love you as you are. And the highest mark of love also is giving you freedom to think and to believe what you believe. And I hope that you also give me the freedom to think and to believe what I believe and still love me. God bless you. Let's pray. Gracious God, help us to honor your design for relationships and to treat one another with love and respect. Guide our conversations about sexual identity and marriage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.